Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, I'll bring you an exclusive interview with Apple's VP of European Operations and the VP of Places on the week where the company announced a new Dublin office. We'll look back at the latest from the social media addiction trial in the US, where Mark Zuckerberg testified earlier in the week. And as always, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email right now, techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. Later in the show, we'll also take a closer look at what was and was not announced earlier this week in relation to our young people and social media. All I'll say is, it's not a ban. I'll bring you that in a little bit. But I want to start this week with Apple. We know they're one of the biggest tech companies in the world. Sometimes they're the center of controversy, but they're always a point of interest, and particularly in this country where their operation at Holyhill in Cork employs around 6,000 people. I was invited down on Wednesday to meet with Cathy Carney, the VP of European Operations, and Christina Rasp, VP of Places, at their extensive and very impressive campus. This was one day before the news of the Dublin office went public, but I managed to squeeze in a bit of chat about that. But I started by asking Cathy to give me an overview of the operation in Ireland to date.
So to date, I suppose we celebrated 45 years anniversary last October. We're established, first site established outside of the US in 1980. We are currently the largest campus outside of the US. So long history and tradition with Apple, and I suppose the thing to call out is, as Apple has grown and evolved and changed over the years, so has this campus. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, evident as soon as you come in and as soon as you see, you know, the scale of operations here. We obviously have 6,000 people here. It's a lot. It's a lot of people, but, you know, we love it. And the thing that's, you know, really special about it, I think, is we have basically 90 different nationalities represented in that, you know, 6,000 people. We support 130 different markets for Apple, and we ship to 50 different countries. So we have huge complexity, diversity, and everything else going on here. And I suppose we like to think of ourselves as a little village, because that's...
It does feel like it. When I walked on campus, it was so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. It's huge.
It is huge. But we don't like to think of ourselves as huge.
You don't have notions.
No, we don't have any notions.
Notions.
No notions whatsoever.
So you mentioned that the scale of the campus, the amount of people. What type of roles, like what work goes on this site?
Good question.
So basically, we've got a manufacturing facility that does, configure to order iMacs for our customers. We have AppleCare, we have operations, we have finance, we have engineering teams, we have, you know, services teams, we have legal teams, very large finance team. I could keep going on.
Okay, so it's a bit of everything, essentially.
There's a bit of everything, and the best way I think about it is we probably have, you know, a smaller version of what's in Cupertino across so many diverse teams. And that's, you know, grown and changed and evolved over the years, and it constantly evolves. And that's what's good, because what it means is that people have long careers here because they move across the different functions. They grow into different functions, and they see the opportunities across the different functions over the years. So it really, you know, allows people to build a career here, which is why we have such long tenure, you know.
People might be surprised, because the Apple HQ is in a beautiful part of the world where the sun shines. Why Ireland? Why Cork for that European HQ?
Well, I think Ireland is beautiful too, and I always enjoy visiting here. I'm jealous of Cathy, who gets to live here all
the
time.
She loves rain. I was talking to her earlier.
I do love the rain.
Well, that's an exclusive.
I do love the rain.
That's the one who loves rain.
I do. I grew up in a desert, so that might be it. But, you know, we started here in 1980 with just one building, and we have just grown and grown and grown over the years. And so it has really been a tale of the great work that's been happening here, the amazing recruiting for talent that has been able to happen here. And the way the site has innovated with the company, as the roles and the jobs have changed and evolved, so has Cork and everything happening here. Mm-hmm. And so when it came time to continue to add space, when we were growing, you know, yet again with more people, the idea of taking this kind of group of buildings and repositioning it into a campus by creating the central spine, setting this building here, creating a transit hub, providing covered access way for people walking from parking, it was very easy for us to make an investment like that in Ireland because the site and the people here have been so successful in service to our customers for so many years.
And it is a real success story. When you read up on Apple, as I've been doing obviously enough in preparation for this, this isn't a satellite office. This is a huge hub in terms of productivity, return on investment, I'm sure, from yourselves as well.
Yeah.
And you yourself have been a huge part of it, and you've been here along for the ride.
Well, I've been here along for the ride. It's definitely down to a hell of a lot more people than just me. And I'm in a lucky position. I've been, you know, overseeing or guiding that and helping along that journey. But it's really, honestly, testament to the teams here. And the quality of the teams and the quality of what they deliver for Apple and for our customers every day. So it's far beyond me. Let's be clear.
Well, it's funny. I have a lot of friends from Cork, and obviously they're so proud of Cork and everything is Cork.
Yeah.
But Apple does feature quite a lot when you meet people here. People on the ground are very proud to have Apple here.
Yeah.
How much engagement goes on with the local community and in terms of feeding back and feeding into the people who have lives and families outside of this beautiful campus?
You know, I mentioned earlier that we're like a village. Mm-hmm. And we like to think of ourselves as a village because, you know, in a village you care about your community and you care about where you operate. Mm-hmm. And you know, we want to get that sense of belonging for people that come to work every day. And that also means that we need to give back, and we need to give back to the community. And we do. We have a very strong volunteer program here. We're lucky that Apple kind of matches every hour that people, you know, volunteer. We have the strongest volunteering commitment of any site across Apple, which is something we're really, again, proud of. We have a lot of caring people, which is fantastic. And we built an infrastructure around it to make it live and real. So we do an awful lot of work with the local communities. We do an awful lot of work with education. We're linked to the colleges. We basically sponsor a number of schools. We do, you know, we bring TY students in every year. To date, I think we've brought about 15,000 TY students in, and you know what, that brings jazz to us as well, because we bring in 100 every Thursday. You know, they get their pizzas, they get the experience of the cafeteria, but they also, what we're trying to do there is give them an experience of what life and a job could look like in Apple. Because sometimes, you know, kids can't, and you know, it's TY, so they can't understand what would that look like. So what we try to do is make it real for them and have, you know, our graduates or our young recruits kind of talk about their journeys and what they do in Apple so that they can relate. But that also, where that gives back to us, is it creates a huge buzz around the cafeterias and everything. Everyone's like, oh, they're back, they're here again every Thursday. And there's a great buzz around the site, you know.
I think it's really interesting you make that point of showing them what a career in tech looks like, because I've been reporting on tech for 15 years now, and I interview people who have job titles that didn't exist 5 years ago, never mind 15 years ago. And the tech community seems to be very aware that, you know, it takes all kinds of brain to, it's not just the technical brain.
Completely.
There's an artsy space to it, there's a creative writing space. There is a role for everybody in tech organizations. It's not that one-dimensional stereotype that was the case 15 years ago.
And that's exactly what we try to demonstrate in, you know, we do career panels with them, and we try to bring all of the weird and wonderful jobs and the pathways that people have had so they can try to relate, you know, because that is the key thing. I think they think of tech as this magical thing. It's not. They're real jobs. They're, yes, they evolve and they're different, and you grow your career and you do different things. But I think it's them, it's connecting with them to get them to really lean in. You know, that's what we're trying to do. And we do, you know, we have all sorts of, we have loads of quantity engineers, we have lots of different skills here. And, you know, it's amazing when you actually start listing the skills that we've hired. And we do look for diverse skills. Because it brings a whole different perspective. So really cool. And I know you can add to that because you certainly hire different skills.
Well, I was just thinking about what you were saying. It's the nimbleness, the agility, and the comfort and ambiguity that makes people a good Apple employee, because with the constant innovation that's happening at the company, our jobs are always changing. Mm-hmm. My job, what I started doing, the spaces I was building for this company 13 years ago, are very different than the spaces we're building today.
How so?
Well, we used to outsource a lot of our research and development. Mm. Now we do a lot of it in-house, so we're building a lot more research and development facilities. We've got TV, we've got music, you know, we're building TV studios and content capture spaces and radio stations now. Mm. Our commitment to design now mirrors the commitment that you see on our products. Mm. So when you come into Apple buildings now, you understand the culture. It's the physical embodiment of our culture and our values. Mm. Everything has changed virtually every year I've been here. Yeah. So the employee looking for that resilience and that comfort,
agility.
The comfort in being agile.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And you mentioned change there. There is another big change because Apple today is announcing another operation, this time in Dublin. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, we're very excited to be opening a new space in Dublin for our teams. It will be complementary to Cork, very much similar teams in Dublin, about 300 employees right in the downtown core, right near Ivy Gardens, walking distance to mass transit. We're super excited that we found the perfect building in the perfect location at the perfect time for Apple.
And why was the decision taken to have that base rather than a further expansion of what's happening here in Cork?
So it's interesting from a real estate standpoint. It's unusual for us to have a grouping this large in a country in one location without having other offices.
Okay.
Most other locations, we have other smaller offices. Even you think in Cupertino, where we have hundreds of buildings, we still have an office in San Francisco. So we've always kind of had these other offices that are complementary to a larger office. Mm. It's just been until now that we've focused on Dublin.
Yeah. But I think the key thing with Dublin, you know, we have people there already. You probably noticed we've been hiring. So we have teams there already. We've just started ramping them up. The focus of our team now is on actually building that Apple culture, hiring the right talent, getting the right leadership there, and really building the Apple culture. Because, you know, right now they're kind of up and down here, kind of, you know, meeting the people and getting to know Apple. And we're trying to help with, you know, creating that culture and that understanding of how Apple works, which is, you know, hard when you're in a smaller location. Mm-hmm. But the idea is, you know, we operate as one team, and we build that culture and that connectedness and that collaboration focus as kind of one team. And that's the focus, and off to a great start, honestly. Delighted with how things are going there. So
yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah,
yeah.
And I think it makes sense to have that connected culture. The office space itself, as you mentioned, it's in a great location. It's on the Lewis line, it's on bus lines. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that assessment before you pick a location to have hundreds of people or even thousands of people? The criteria, the checklist that you have to be happy with before you guys would commit to such a location?
Sure. Well, I won't tell you all the secret sauce that goes into it, but I'll give you a little bit.
Such an Apple answer.
Yes.
I love it.
We are very focused on ensuring that our employees have a location that is central to where they all live, work, and play, because we don't want long commute hours. We also really like on transit lines so that we can avoid more carbon emissions through, you know, single car trips. Having amenities around the space, when we're not building a campus and we're not able to deliver all the amenities with a Cafe Max, a gym, a medical facility, we want locations that have those amenities nearby that are provided by others. So it's a lot of that goes into finding a location, and then a building that matches our aesthetic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mentioned that the built environment is really a statement of our brand and our values.
It's a real look and feel to it. The second I walked in the glass doors, I was like, this is such an Apple building. You can just feel the sense of calm. Every light has a purpose and it was intentional. It's like looking at an iPhone. It's brilliant to see that consistency flows through, whether it was, you know, one of the original iMacs right through to this beautiful campus that you have here now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You'll notice we have the curves and the glass that match the curves on our iPhone. We want you to feel like you're in an Apple environment, but the goal is to really surround you with natural materials that you would see, you know, in the Cork countryside that you can relate to from an organic sense. So you see a lot of timber, you see, you get fresh air through the natural ventilation system, you have access to light everywhere, there's biophilia everywhere. We're very respectful and honoring of the landscape that surrounds the building. So that's all the things that go into design.
I think one key ingredient as well in terms of choosing a location is the talent.
For sure, 100%.
And the reputation of the, you know, the reputation of the people. And so I think the endorsement of Ireland, you know, the this building is testament to that. Mm-hmm. And the investment by Apple is just testament to that in terms of the caliber of the people and the talent we've been able to hire here. And that continues in Dublin. So I think that is probably, you know.
The intense demographic work I cannot share. But there's a lot of a lot that focuses on who we want to hire and where they're located.
There had been some talk predominantly online where in the wake of the tax bill scandal that went on for a while that Apple might leave Ireland, and there was a fear factor around that because of the significant footprint. But this seems to be a very clear articulation that not only are you guys not going anywhere, it's growing now in Dublin as well.
Yeah.
I think the best testament to that is, you know, and the clarity on that is Tim's letter back to Tim last year, or back to the Taoiseach last year, where he basically said, look, we see Ireland as our second home. And, you know, it was the second location outside of Cupertino. And, you know, that the fact that, you know, the teams have delivered to actually make that still be the case 45 years later, I think is really an amazing achievement by the team. So, I think, you know, all of that, hopefully, we've moved on.
Yeah, absolutely. I refer to your incredible career as part of the team here at Apple. And I'm just wondering from your own point of view, having seen so much change, so much innovation, so much expansion, there must be a great sense of pride from your side to see your colleagues, your team, your company investing so heavily in County Cork.
Absolutely. One thing I would say, I don't consider myself to be very egotistical or a proud person. I don't like egotistical people, so I try not to get carried away with myself, and I don't. But I think, honestly, you have to be proud of what the team have achieved. And you know, it really is a team effort, and it's back to the village that we talked about earlier, and creating that sense of community, that people collaborate, people work together for the greater good, for our customers, and you know, in support of our products. That here is alive and strong, and also now started in Dublin. So, you know, I expect that to continue. It's part of who we are.
Yeah, and it's great. And one thing that we mention it every time a new product is launched, but the focus on the environment, that seems to be something that goes beyond a box-ticking exercise for the company. Again, in terms of this campus, the Dublin operation, and your other locations, how is that part of the day-to-day reality for Apple, its employees, and then eventually its customers as well?
It's foundational to everything we do. Our commitment to the environment, the planet, is woven into everybody's work every day. When you look at the building and our footprint, and you think about our Apple 2030 ambitions, the Global Energy and Sustainability team actually sits within the Places team. We ensure that our entire worldwide footprint runs on 100% renewable energy. In this building, in the design of the building, the Global Energy and Sustainability team are working with us hand in hand. So we have a rainwater capture system for this building that will capture 1.3 million liters of water every year, which you can see today with all the rain.
It's probably today.
And that's what's used, you know, in the toilet flushing.
Okay.
We have natural ventilation that reduces the, you know, use of HVAC, which is also good for people's health. Our commitment to health and wellness also comes through in our designs as well. You know, I could go on and on and on about the way we think about the environment. This will be a BREEAM excellent building, and it's True Waste certified, True Waste Platinum, because it's, I think over 10 years the campus has been zero waste
to landfill, and that with you know, with a manufacturing site and with such huge cafeteria footprints, it's pretty extensive achievement. So you know, it's been a focus. It's part of who we are.
This is our first all-electric building in Cork. Even the cooking, which many people cook with gas, it's all electric. And when you're running your campus on renewable energy and you're all electric, the carbon emissions go down considerably.
It's fantastic. It's proof that it can be done at scale as well, given the size of it.
It's good for the business.
Yeah, it's fantastic. My final question is, I've been chatting to a lot of TY students, people who are doing their leaving cert as well. And there's a sense of uncertainty about what they should do when they grow up. Now, I feel that at 37, so I can only imagine what they're feeling now in their teenage years. But I'm just wondering, given what you said about the jobs and the job spec and all the rest, what would be your bit of career advice, both of you, to somebody who's 16, 17, they're sitting down with the form of what should I do when I get older? Is the tech space a good space to be in? Should you discount it if you're not doing engineering? Or, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how we can continue to have a tech community that is open to everybody and that people aren't walking away from it before they've given it a go.
I would say absolutely. I think there will absolutely be jobs in tech, and I certainly would discourage anybody from being afraid. But I suppose my own advice, maybe kids, my own advice to my kids was, you know, you don't really know what you want. So keep it broad. Keep, you know, don't go down a niche path. Keep it broad. And for me, it's much more important that you have the ability and the mindset of change and agile in terms of change, and know that your career is going to go in different ways, but keep it broad-based. Because to be honest, for me, I look at my kids who are now through college. To me, college is a rite of passing, and it's more you need to grow up.
Yeah, it's life experience,
very much. Totally. And so do something nice and broad that you enjoy. And actually, the number one thing, I have to say, did work with my guys, is do something you love. Don't do something that you think is going to get you a job that you might like. Do something you love, and no matter what it is, you will be successful. And that's the number one piece of advice for me. But, you know, I started very early with my kids going, what do you like? What do you love? What do you like doing? And I think, you know, really trying to get your kids to narrow it down. And, you know, it doesn't have to be one thing, but, you know, what area? Do you love art? Do you love engineering and fiddling with things, right? You know, to me, and then don't go too niche. That would be my advice.
Yeah, love that.
I would say very similar. I have two boys, one still in college, one recently graduated, and we have very similar conversations, or at least we did for the one before he graduated. It's really, you know, it's hard to even find what you love when you're that age. I didn't know my job existed even when I graduated from university. I went through a whole other career before I pivoted into this career. And so you need to not feel that immense pressure of deciding the rest of your life at any moment. If you are willing to work hard and you're willing to constantly learn and take feedback and grow, your opportunities are limitless, and you don't need to ask tech or not tech. I had one, my oldest son studied finance and economics, and literally within 5 minutes of graduating is in a tech job that he wasn't really seeking and fell into, and, you know, now has a whole different career. And so you just never know what doors are going to open. You just have to keep an open mind and be open to being agile.
Awesome stuff. Well, look, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.